Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Bring your man and tell me if heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's of all that Jesus told. As that story has never been told. So now you see the light. Oh, stand up for your life. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 133, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well tonight. And we are the Democracy Defenders.
Yes, indeed. Tonight, USA versus Trump, where do we go from here? April 4th, 2023, we live in infamous. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is officially charged and fingerprinted in Manhattan, New York. This is a force in our history. Instead of keeping his mouth shut, Donald Trump keeps talking and digging himself deeper in a hole as his indictment unfolded. The public is sick of Trump. The world is sick of Trump. Where do you go from here? Will Trump get a major prison time, or will he get a slap on the wrist for breaking campaign finance laws and New York laws? When will other possible indictments follow on other investigations of Trump? Will he be the first former U.S. president of the United States to serve in federal prison? How will this affect the 2024 presidential campaign? Call us and tell us what you think about this case and what's going on with the Republican Party in general and how it affects America and our democracy. You can call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all your TVs and anything in the background that will make noise because it's distracting to us as hosts and listeners. We thank you for liking, commenting, and sharing facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 or visiting our new website, kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-cooking. Just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So now, democracy is dying or has probably already died in Tennessee. As you know, the Tennessee House of Representatives, they voted, Republicans voted to expel three members who are Democrats and everything. So, you know, tell us, give us a background on that, Lori. What transpired today?
Yeah. First of all, we're going to hashtag them and call them the TN3. And they are also Democracy Defenders. Let's never forget that. The simple thing that they did is that, as we know, there was the massacre at one of the that Christian elementary school where six people were gunned down. And from that, there has been demonstrations day after day at the state capitol in Tennessee. Well, today, parents and students all joined in there today, and three of the Democrat representatives, Gloria Johnson, Rep. Justin Jones, and Rep. Justin Pearson, all joined in the into the protest, just walking along with them side of the Capitol building. From that, the House decided that they were going to expel the three, and they held hearing today, and they did expel two of them. They expelled Justin James, and they expelled Justin Pearson. Gloria Johnson was not expelled. Now, let's put this is the way I see this. I see this, first of all, as a fascist move on the part of the Republican Party in Tennessee. There was no reason whatsoever for these Republicans to oust them because they walked with protesters today. Absolutely none. Their democracy, their civil rights were stepped on today. Their First Amendment rights were stepped on today. And something has to be done about this. The other thing that I'm going to say is Gloria Johnson is white. Rep. Justin Jones is a young black man. And Rep. Justin Pearson is also a young black man. Both of them are amazing speakers. I was floored when I heard them today pouring their hearts out as to why they should not be expelled from their seats. And in my eyes, mm-hmm. They should have expelled all three of them because all three of them walked in unity with the protesters. If they were going to expel one, they should have expelled all three of them, in my opinion. This is blatant racism and fascism in real time. And people had better freaking wake up and understand that this, what happened today in Tennessee, is going to spread like wildfire in other red states. These Republicans have decided that they are going to take over this country. I feel it in my bones now that they're going to take over this country, and they don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about our Constitution. They don't care about the people that voted them into office. They only care about their agenda, and that is to become fascist and racist in this country. Go ahead, David.
Yes, it's sad indeed. Democracy, has been lost in Tennessee, and Republicans, taking the steps to be autocratic. To have a Republican governor, lieutenant governor, the state house is majority Republican. So because there's only 27 Democrats are elected, and it just voted 3-3.
Right.
So will this be a blueprint for what Republicans want to do nationwide when they don't agree with Democrats on certain things?
Yes.
And it shows that Republicans in Tennessee and all over the country care more about the NRA and people's gun rights and the Second Amendment over children's lives. And if this is not a wake-up call, even if you're a Republican or independent, then something is seriously wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody deserves this. We did nothing wrong. What is wrong when you stand up in unison with people who you represent? Their children are being killed, with this gun violence.
And David, the other thing is that appalls me is the fact that these people have the right to go to the state capitol. They pay their wages. They pay their health care. They pay them to work and represent them. And they are not doing that. I'm so mad, as you can tell, the NRA and people that want to keep their guns and protect the stupid Second Amendment. What about these kids, the lives of these children? They don't even want to go to school. It's amazing that they think that we are going to forget this. No, we're not going to forget this. This is going to embolden us. So this is going to mushroom. And if, like you said, David, if people don't see what happened today, then they're never going to get it because this was in real time. All over the world saw what happened today in Tennessee. And that right there should just put up a red flag right there and say stop right now and take a deep breath.
Yes.
Stand back and look at what's happening in this country.
Mm-hmm. And Republicans were saying that these Democrats didn't follow House rules and order and decorum during protests calling for gun law reforms, and the House can vote to expel two of them. And, you know, this is one of the members speaking before he was expelled. Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are talking about nothing less than 75 people overruling the wishes of 78,000 people. And you're going to cut off debate? Give me a break. Is this a circus? You are talking about kicking somebody out of this body. Grow up. If you can't sit through a conversation or a debate on something no less than expelling a colleague, grow up. Get out of here. You don't belong here. You want to call the question?
This is John Ray Clemens. He is a House member from Tennessee, defending his colleagues. And here it is.
I'm humiliated. I am embarrassed. Look at the rules of procedure, the ethic rules. If the purpose of this is to hold the respect and confidence of the people, representatives should avoid conduct that even appears to violate the trust the people have placed in them. What are we doing? Call them to question. Ladies and gentlemen, point of order is, if you don't want to sit here and have this discussion, withdraw the resolution. Let's move on to the people's business and actually address the issue that created what makes you uncomfortable. The loss of life, not just those six loss of life. People in every community across the state that continue to be killed by gun violence.
Hey, Chairman Clemens, you're just a point of order. I understand you're upset by the call of the question. If somebody have a point of order where we are, not a speech on the floor, but we're at a point of order if that's where you're wanting to go. The question's been called. It was put on the board as objection. The rule prevailed to take the vote.
Yeah, so that's Speaker Cameron Sexton. He's a Republican in Tennessee, Speaker of the Tennessee House. And you know, the GOP bans books and the ban drag, but kids are still in body bags and everything. So,
that's right.
You know, we can't expect anything better from Republicans. As you say, with the U.S. Congress, instead of George Santos, he's still in office. You know, you can hear the frustration. And if you saw the video, you could see the frustration with that Democrat in Tennessee. You know, he was saying, is this a circus? You know?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Not only that, David, they were also saying that, you know, while they're in session, not just today, but all the other days that they have been in session, their voices are always ignored. Gloria Johnson said that when she first was elected, they gave her a office that was the size of a closet, she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she said you couldn't even work in there. It was there was no room to put anything. But she didn't complain, and she kept on going. Mm-hmm. And this is what they do to Democrats. This is how they treat them in Tennessee. And probably in other states as well, but I'm just talking about this particular time today. And this is they also said that when they do have their sessions, they are always cut off, just like they were today. They are ignored, and nothing gets done because, as you said, they have the majority there. Yes, they do. But the 27 or 28 Democrats that are there have an equal voice. And they don't want to give them their equal voice or their equal time. And this is what happened today. I'm outraged.
Yeah, it's a real...
I'm outraged.
Yeah, it's a real puppet show by Republicans because, what can I say? Tennessee has been Republican, you know, a long time. Since Al Gore, left to become vice president. He was U.S. Senator once, representing Tennessee. And this made this right shift, you know, the shift shot right and everything. And, you know, the healthcare system in Tennessee is not the greatest. The education system in Tennessee is not the greatest. And you notice there's a pattern with these red states. The more further right to go, you know, is the dumber people who get elected in high positions, in office and everything. So until that change where, you know, people rise up from, you know, school board level, rise up to the federal level and try elect Democrats and everything and, you know, educate the people who are voting that, hey, Democrats stand for this, Democrat has done this, Republicans are, you know, against this and will hurt you this way. You know, just spread it out to people, you know, and stop laying back and like, oh, you know, Republicans play dirty and, oh, my goodness. And no, if Republicans bring a knife, you bring a gun to a gunfight. You know, they put one of us figuratively in a hospital, we put them in a political morgue because that's how we roll. That's how we should roll as Democrats. Not this whiner little thing, but, oh, you know, when they go low, we go high. With all due respect to Obama, that's not going to work. That those days
not with this group of people.
No.
You're absolutely right.
No.
Not with this group of people. This group of people that we have right now that we're dealing with in office are a different – oh, are you okay? Bless you. Are a different – they're cut from a different cloth. They are emboldened. They think they're entitled, care about the rule of law, as we have seen for how many years now. And it's time that the young voters, I really believe, and I've said this over and over, the young voters that are turning 18, they are the ones that are going to the state houses now. They are the ones that are mad. They are the ones that want change. They are the ones that are going to create the change. They are the sea wave that's coming. I just know that. But we have to also make sure that they're registered, make sure that they understand their rights when they're voting. They have to make sure, we have to make sure that they understand what democracy is and what we've been fighting for forever in this country. And in just a few years, this can be taken away. And I'm sounding the alarm because I do feel it's coming. I have this sick feeling in my stomach day in and day out because I see what's happening. And like in Florida, you know, with DeSantis there, you know, let's just go over in Kansas, okay? Kansas is going to allow genital inspection of kids who want to play Florida. Republicans were forced girls to disclose their menstrual history. In West Virginia, Republicans have blocked a child marriage ban. Why? And they call Democrats groomers. If this isn't grooming, what is this? Explain it to me. Somebody. Make me feel like I'm not insane. Make me feel like there's no hope left because I am to the point of being livid. Just livid. If I lived anywhere near Nashville today, I probably would have been at that state house as well because I am just sick and tired of this bullshit. Tired of it. I'd probably be arrested, but it's not the point. It's the point that, you know, we have to somehow reach a point that our democracy is under attack. That's it. There's no other way to say it. Democracy and racism is taking over this country. Not a joke.
Yeah. And Marsha Blackburn last week in this GOP fundraiser, she spoke at a GOP event. She's U.S. Senator from Tennessee, talking about, you know, Democrats want to ban dishwashers and, you know, showers and all sorts of things. You know, they want to ban stoves and everything. Which is, you know, pretty stupid. Democrats not banning of those things. You know,
no.
I don't know what a point she's trying to make, you know, because we're environmentally conscious, you know, about,
mm-hmm.
you know, saving the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we speak about, you know, different things in Earth. And so she and her twisted mind saying that Democrats are cracking their home appliances and all some crap like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, oh, God. I don't know what else to say about Marsha Blackburn. She is a MAGA Trump Republican. She's blonde and ditzy and pretty
mm-hmm.
stupid. She calls herself a Christian, a born-again evangelical. So
yeah.
it comes as no surprise that this woman is really stupid.
Never is.
You know?
Never is.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, a little bit later on, we'll talk more about Marsha Blackburn. And she's not
yeah.
worth the time now to waste the
mm-hmm.
energy.
No.
515-605-9802 is the number you call. We'll have Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. What's cooking?
Good evening. Sounds like we're on a roll. Well,
mm-hmm.
we've got one indictment.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just have to sit back and let them do their work. And we
mm-hmm.
have to get to work
mm-hmm.
and we have to help the people. And we have to help ourselves. We've got to fight this gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just plain out of hand. I mean, here
yeah.
in Michigan, it's every day or every night you on the news, somebody's been shot.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's not, you know, when I used to visit my mother in Florida, I used to say, oh, my God, I can't wait to go home because your news is terrible. You know, it was all kinds of violence in Florida all the time. It was violence,
mm-hmm.
violence, violence. And we're not any different now.
No.
Our 11 o'clock news is just as bad. Little kids have been shot. A man's been shot. This one's been shot. This one's been police officers have been shot. I mean, it's out of hand. It's just plain out of hand. All right, you two continue. You're doing a great job.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the other thing I'd like to talk about for a moment is Idaho. And I'm just on a roll because all of this is playing together. We have to understand that this is like a major a graph. They have put together like a playbook. And all these red states are all basically on the same page. And they're all doing little things, not little things, but things to take away freedoms from people, you know, they're taken away. So Idaho now, the governor of Idaho has signed an abortion trafficking bill into law. Now, I talked about this the other day, and I think we're on Monday. I brought it up. But now it has been signed into law. And it goes on to say, legal limits on abortion-related travel are the focus of a new law and a new lawsuit in Idaho with Governor Brad Little signing a bill Wednesday that makes it illegal for an adult to help a minor get an abortion without parental consent. Meanwhile, two doctors and a regional Planned Parenthood affiliate have filed a lawsuit over this newly released interpretation of a separate anti-abortion law because the Attorney General says it prohibits physicians from even referring patients to out-of-state abortion providers. The new abortion trafficking law signed on Wednesday is the first of its kind in the U.S. It makes it illegal either to obtain abortion pills for a minor or to help them leave the state for an abortion without their parents' knowledge and consent. Anyone convicted will face 2 to 5 years in prison and could also be sued by the minors' parents or guardians. Parents who rape their child will not be able to sue the criminal penalties for anyone who helped the minor obtain an abortion will remain in effect. Now, what is that? Is that pure insanity?
Lori, does that mean that if the parent helps the child, that they're also breaking the law?
Yes. Well,
okay.
No, according to what I just read, it sounds like without the parental, without parental consent, okay? But the thing is that What if this child was raped by their parent? You think that parent's going to give consent? Think about it.
Of course.
Or a step-parent. I mean, think about it. This is Idaho, people. This is Idaho.
Are you sure that the parents can't be arrested if they help their minor child cross the border to go get an abortion? I've got a feeling that that's in there.
No,
it's called a gut feeling.
I'm saying if someone else does not get parental, let's say the aunt will take the pregnant teenager, whomever, across state lines. The aunt might want to take it, or the sister, but they don't ask the parent. Then that sister or that aunt or whomever is taking that child or person across state lines to get an abortion can be the one in trouble because they did not get parental consent. But what I'm saying is what if the stepfather is the one, or the father is the one that's doing, you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So, I mean, you can't just write a law like that, you know, stipulations as far as, I can understand having some parental consent, but what if, you know, they don't, I don't know. It's just beyond my... Go ahead, David.
Okay, so here's a little breakdown on the abortion trafficking bill that was sent in law recently by the Idaho governor. You know, and that Idaho is also the state that banned feminine products from being like the free napkins. You can like put money in, or and you get sanitary napkins and what have you.
Right.
You're
cool.
A child and it's your purity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this governor is a real asshole, really. Now, another born-again religious right nut job. And so this is about the abortion trafficking bill. That was into law. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, a new Idaho law makes it illegal for an adult to help a minor get an abortion without parental consent. It's called the Abortion Trafficking Law. It's been signed by Idaho's Republican governor, Brad Little. And it can mean 2 to 5 years in prison if anyone is convicted. NBC's Ellie Vitale has been reporting on this story for us. Charles Coleman is a former prosecutor and MSNBC legal analyst. Ellie, let's start with this law. It creates a crime they call abortion trafficking. What more can you tell us about it? Yeah, Chris, this is among the most restrictive laws that we have seen across the country, and certainly the first of this kind, which would effectively govern the way that adults could help pregnant minors without the consent of their parents access abortion care. And we're not just talking about medical abortions. We're also talking about medicated abortions, specifically the abortion pill. I can put up for you on the screen some of the fine points here. Because, again, this is something that's the first of its kind but could be mimicked across the country, especially in conservative legislatures. So what we're talking about here...
Wait, so I thought Republicans were a small government. What is more big government than going into somebody's interest? You know, somebody's bedroom. You know? And anyone who has pregnant minor access to abortion should face jail time. They could get 2 to 5 years. This is what this law says. If local prosecutors don't move on these cases, the state attorney general, who is also a Republican, will press charges on people who help minors get an abortion. So jail time includes traveling to another state where abortion is legal, includes abortion pill, and could apply to medical providers referring someone across state lines, like you said earlier, Lori. You know, this is total garbage and crap. I want to, like, legislate women's bodies. Instead of legislating gun control, they're trying to legislate women's bodies. They're trying to control women, as usual. You know, they're stuck back in the 1600s where women didn't have a voice and women have no say in who they are. You know, they just view women as property. You know, so I want people to call in and tell us how you feel. What Republicans are doing in terms of, you know, these set of legislations in Idaho and what happened in Tennessee. You know, it's very dreadful, and it's like going slowly but surely in the direction of, you know, having autocracy, you know, and fascism, you know, what Hitler and Mussolini in Italy had. You know, because some people who it don't affect them directly, and say, like, oh, sure, you know, I'm not a woman, so, you know, I don't really care. So when I do this to women, when I do this to the trans community, when I do this to the LGBTQ community, when, you know, trample on people's rights, and immigrants, and people not like them, who are white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, when I gather up all those people who are not like them, then when I have nobody else to bully, they'll come after you. And then what? You know, so the best thing to do is unite and know. Build coalitions, like you said. The generation. I'm Generation X. You're a baby boomer. Your granddaughters are millennials. And what has you, like, you know, put in a word for no, and you know, Gen Z and millennials and what have you, because Republicans have to be stopped. People around the world looking at us and laughing and saying, I thought this was supposed to be the beacon of democracy, the light upon the hill, you know, for people who want to emulate America. And these same Republicans say, oh, they're for, you know, the police. But yet still, on January 6th, their supporters murdered police officers trying to do their job and everything. You know, and these are the people who claim that they're, you know, God tell them, or they speak personally with God. I mean, take your medication, people. You know, you spoke personally to God and God told you to this and that. People like Marsha Blackburn, this U.S. Senator from Tennessee, a lot of them show up in the U.S. Congress. And, you know, if you ask John Boehner, and the former Speaker of the House, for example, he said in an interview last year that he can finger point people who are part of the Ku Klux Klan and white nationalist movements who don't deserve to have people in the U.S. Congress and the People's House who are white nationalists and racists, you know, to be in there legislatively. That's just wrong. You know, so it's going to backfire. It'll come to a head in 2024. It's coming to a head now, you know, with what's happening in Tennessee, what's happening in Idaho, what's going on in Florida, you know, to try to pull some shit in New Mexico, you know, and Mark Ronchetta, he ran for the governorship against Democrat incumbent Michelle Lujan Gershom, for example. And, you know, he used tons of daddy's money, and money was coming out of the state. He's a Trump supporter. He's a MAGA Republican himself. And, you know, we in New Mexico said, we're not going to put up with that shit, you know, because he ran unsuccessfully for U.S. Senate a couple of years before that. People hate him then. People hate him more now. Because anybody who defends Trump, then they're not always to the light of day for political office in New Mexico, because New Mexico is totally fully blue now. We even, for the first time in 15, 16 years, won District 2, Congressional District 2, which has been solidly Republican for years, you know, and you know, 2024, District 2 is one of the seats Republicans gunning after to get back. And we're going to make goddamn sure in New Mexico that New Mexico will remain blue. Michigan did it. It's totally blue. Yep. Doing the work about getting gun control, helping women, you know, promoting women's rights, making legislation for women's rights, and, you know, strengthening unions. This is now Michigan is now not a work to write. What's the word for it? A right to work state.
No, we are no longer a right to work state.
Yes, yes, that's what I said. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I said. You know, so, you know, that was one of the first things Michigan did, which is very commendable, you know, because government has no business in people's bedrooms. And they're going to learn a hard, hard reality come 2024 because women and people coming of age who just turned 18 are so pissed at fascism. They're trying to enjoy it. usually. Okay, so 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Hello, Susan from Michigan.
How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, not bad. There's some noise.
This is so damn depressing.
Well,
I was watching a news report. It was, I think, on MSNBC. Jamal Bevin is a Democrat from New York, and he boiled down this disaster happening really well. He said all the Republicans want is to fight for guns and to be against abortion and nothing else. He said when the country needs racial equality, like in housing, in medical care, in education, and the Democrats across the country need to push back and do what the two Tennessee or the three Tennessee representatives did today. We need to do it all across the country in every state legislature, fight for our country. And he said the Dems are too polite. He said they got to get out there and fight and be on the front lines. He said the Democrats care about caskets, bodies, survival, and they need to uphold the ideals of our Constitution. I couldn't even say it better, but that I thought right on.
You're absolutely right. And we should not be depressed. We should be angry.
Exactly. He said demonstrate all over the place.
Absolutely. Springtime is coming. People need to get out if they can. Do your thing. Talk to people. Try to, spark up a conversation with the young people especially, because they are the ones that are going to be taking in the reins of this country. And these young people want democracy. They see what's going on in real time.
They're the ones that protested in Michigan and got the abortion rights put back.
You better believe it. So
they're pushing for the gun rights, reform. And it's the young ones that are doing it.
It sure is.
And they did it. Where was it that they just the young ones came out and did it at one of the other states? I forget now which one it was about gun rights and stuff. And judge, the Supreme Court judge. What was that, Kansas? Yeah. It was the young people that came out. They made the difference.
They're done. They've had enough. They see what's going on. They are the ones that have to, either run, fight, or hide. They're the ones that are hiding under their desks and every day. Wondering, could this be our day? And I'm sure that they don't think about it 24/7, but don't think that it's not on their minds, because it probably is.
Well, they have practices. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we worried about tornadoes and fire alarms, not having gun guys in your school. Nobody did that back then.
Like I said, it's come to a point where we can't be depressed. We have to be mad, and we have to be forceful, and we have to join an online group. Make phone calls if you can't leave the house. Make phone calls. Do Zoom meetings. There's all kinds of things that you can do. And, there's all kinds of groups now. There's Moms Demand Action. There's, all kinds of stuff right now that we can engage with, and we can find a way to connect with people, because that's what we have to do. Connect with people that have our same sentiments in mind and understand what is happening to our democracy in this country.
One thing that is right on target with what you're saying, our country was founded like that. They came here in the first place because they were pissed about the religion running Europeans, So they came to the United States for freedom, and they fought, and they got it. And they did the Constitution, making everybody equal, and we have to do it again.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. What do you think, Laurie, about December 4th later on this year being the next in-person hearing for Donald Trump in regards to the Stormy Daniels hush money payment? You know, I mean, Jesus, man, we'll have to wait until December for this asshole to get his time in court. You know, it's,
you know,
it's so drawn out. The justice system is so slow and fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
Rich people like him can delay. Yeah. But, you know, a regular Joe, you know, tutus, have a quick speed trial. Boom, you're in prison.
Yeah.
For how long?
Yeah.
You know, come on. This justice system,
I think,
is
Georgia
job.
And Mar-a-Lago and insurrection is going to come in sooner and harder.
Mm-hmm.
I do,
they're
too.
They're ready to go
yeah.
on both of those other, you know,
yeah.
things.
Yeah, mm. I kind of do, too. I just want, we just want to kind of go over a little bit about what happened on Tuesday. I mean, that. Watching that on Tuesday, I don't know about how everyone else feels about this, but watching that on Tuesday, I felt what a waste of taxpayer money, what a waste of my day, because, of course, I was curious, so I had to watch, you know, and then to see George Santos there, what a joke, and to see Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she cracked me up because she went and had this park in mind that she was going to have a protest. She went over to the park, and it was all roped off. I don't know if you guys heard this story. It was all roped off, and the reason it was roped off is because they knew that she wanted to have that protest there. And she did not pull, a permit. She did not want to pull. She did not know that she had to pull a permit to have that protest there. So she was there for mm-hmm. 2 minutes, and then she had to leave. And then
everybody was booing her and told her, get the hell out
absolutely.
Of New York.
Absolutely. So
that was so cool.
Yes, it was amazing. So don't mess with New York. They ran her out of New York, you know. And then we had, of
mm-hmm.
course, then we had, of course, the indictment, which took over an hour just for the indictment. And normally it takes, 15, 20 minutes? And the reason they had to is because the court had to explain everything to him as far as what was going to happen. So I'm just going to read a little bit of what he said, because I think it's important to know what the judge said. This is New York versus Donald J. Trump. This is a court transcript. And like I said, I won't read it all, but I just a few points of it. The court, which is the judge, he said, please refrain from making comments or engaging in conduct that the potential and has the potential to incite violence, create civil unrest, or jeopardize the safety or well-being of any individuals. And please do not engage in words or conduct which jeopardize the rule of law, particularly as it appears to these proceedings in this courtroom. And then he went on to say, at some point down the road, if you are not present, I have the right to continue the proceedings in your absence. Do you understand? And Trump said, yes. And then he also said, if you become disruptive, I do have the authority to remove you from the courtroom and continue in your absence. Do you understand that? And he said, I do. And if either of these situations were to happen and the case were to go to trial, we would go to trial without you. Do you understand? Defendant Trump said yes. And then they requested to allow Trump to skip the next hearing. And this was his reply. I expect all the defendants to appear in court, even the high profile defendants. I think in the interest of transparency and assuring the rule of law, even-handedly, at this time, I'm going to deny your application. So he made it pretty clear of what he expected, you know, and then there was a speech at Mar-a-Lago. Does anyone want to talk about that speech?
It was a joke. The judge did something which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Trump had on social media put out a plea to buy T-shirts with his mug shot on it.
The judge says, we aren't taking any pictures. Nobody is going to profit off of this. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But the judge said, this is one of the reasons they didn't take a mugshot. Because mugshots can be taken off the computer. There's no way that Trump can profit off of his face on a T-shirt called the mugshot.
Yeah.
So I think that was an absolutely brilliant move by the court in New York. And go back to Marjorie Taylor. The video that I saw on social media, there were some men that kept calling her an animal. Very clear. He kept telling her that she was an animal and to get the hell out of New York.
That was, what was his name, David? I think you know. Joseph, is it Rappaport?
He was a, he is a congressman from New York. His name slipped me at the moment.
I want to say Rappaport, if I remember right.
Michael Rappaport is an actor.
I think that's the one that Elaine is talking about. He was
It was out there at the park, and he was calling her an animal.
Yep, he did. He told her to get
out. The look on her face wasn't very pleasant. I thought that was kind of nice. At least it gave me a chance to smile.
Yeah, me too. All right, she was definitely humiliated. You know, she was.
You know, I know we're all impatient, but you know, we have to trust what New York is doing. I think it's going to come up earlier than December 4th, but we have to trust what they're doing. Our system is slower than the rest of the world. But we are pretty good at, we've made some mistakes and put people in prison, but we've gotten them back out also. So we just have to trust them. I think now what we have to do is we've got to work on other issues. It's our turn now.
If
we've got anything to vote on, we better get our butts out there and vote. It's our turn. Time to protest. Just at the grocery store. Well, I'll talk to anybody. A woman said to me, my God, she said this margarine, she says, is tripled in price. I said, I have the sticks and the paper. And she said, sticks and paper? I says, yeah. I says, it sounds like you're a good candidate for a protest. I almost organized a protest right there at Myers.
Can somebody explain the fixation that Marjorie Taylor Greene has on AOC? You know, she sounds obsessed with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, really. You know, calling her a little communist who she locked up.
I think she's jealous of her.
I agree with you. You said AOC, there's no way that she could debate her. AOC would chew her up and out in 5 minutes, David.
Exactly.
But the thing is, Marjorie Taylor Greene throw the gauntlet down, says she, you know, can debate AOC anytime, any place. And when AOC finally accepted it, Marjorie Taylor Greene ran with her tail between her legs. You know, that was like a year ago and everything. And poor AOC is on one of them committees with Marjorie Greene. And the way, you know, the Republicans in the House waste time and taxpayer dollars talking about public peeing, you know, it's like the fetishes coming into life and everything, you know, about woke culture, about being a woke government. I mean, Jesus, what is wrong with these people?
They're insane.
That was Lauren Boebert. She was talking about public urination.
Yes.
Over and over and cutting off the guy he couldn't even answer.
You know? I mean, Boebert is an idiot. We're not even going to call her name for the rest of the show. She's a fool. She's a moron. Hopefully a bus strike her one day and just put her out of her misery. But Good news is that the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, $54 million mm-hmm. was spent in total.
Yeah.
And yeah. The Democrat-leaning liberal, Jeanette, I can't even pronounce her last name, Protasiewicz, she won in a landslide by 10 points, basically. So this is Rachel Maddow calling a race for her recently, and it gave us such a thrill. You know, I got goosebumps.
Yep. Okay. I know.
I'm calling an audible here. I need to speak to the control room and ask you, live on TV, can I report this breaking news? All right. NBC News has breaking news, which I can now bring to you. I'm sorry, I needed to confirm that. If the answer had been no, that would have been a real problem. NBC News is projected a result in the very important Wisconsin Supreme Court election tonight. Janet Protasiewicz is the more liberal of the two candidates. Dan Kelly, the more conservative of the two candidates. This is considered broadly to be the most important election in the country, the most consequential election in the country in the year 2023. As you see with these elections here, the projected winner is Janet Protasiewicz, the more liberal of the two judicial candidates here, that has very big consequences for Wisconsin and indeed for the country. I will just point out a couple of things here. This may very well mean that there is a deciding vote in the Wisconsin Supreme Court that results in abortion being legal in Wisconsin instead of illegal. It also means that Wisconsin, which is arguably the most gerrymandered state in the country, may finally get what are considered to be fair maps rather than radical Republican maps. I will also say that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the one Supreme Court in the nation that agreed to hear Donald Trump's challenges to the 2020 election, and it was only by one vote that they refused his demand to throw out hundreds of thousands of votes in Democratic cities in Wisconsin, thereby giving him that state's election result when he had not, in fact, won it. And now the majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, for the first time in more than a decade, will flip from hard right conservative control to progressive control.
That's so the first time in 15 years that Wisconsin is going to have a liberal court and everything. That is so good.
Yeah.
That is so good.
I was very excited when I heard that news. 15 years is a long time. It's just kind of like Michigan. You know, we've been Republican, you know, how do I put it, ruled by the GOP for many, many years here in Michigan. And, you know, we finally have, you know, good leadership, and it feels good. And the same thing is going to happen in Wisconsin. So I do believe that this might show us that, yes, it costs, like you said, David, $54 million. But I do believe that this might just give us a little bit of hope, because Wisconsin, you know, I mean, think about Wisconsin. They're definitely a red state. 15 years of that, and just in the Supreme Court there. And so I mean, this just shows you that people are fed up with what's going on in this country, and they're going to vote the way they're going to vote their feelings. Let's put it that way.
And thank you to Wisconsin women for coming out and voting in numbers, even Republican women. You know, they got pissed off and upset about, you know, the bullshit their party's up to. And a lot of them overwhelmingly with independents voting for the Democratic leaning judge and everything, the left wing. So back in other news now, for over 20 years, Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, has been treated to luxury vacations by billionaire Republican donor Harlan Crow. He goes to far-flung locales on Crow's yacht. He flies on his private jet, and he keeps company with Crow's powerful friends at his private resort. So the extent of Crow's largesses has never been revealed until now. Clarence Thomas and the billionaire have this friendship in late June 2019, for example, right after the United States Supreme Court released its final opinion on the term of the term. Justice Thomas boarded a large private jet headed to Indonesia. He and his wife, Jenna Thomas, that bitch, were going on a vacation, 9 days of island hopping in a volcanic, some volcanic tourist attraction. in a super yacht, sat by, you know, a private chef and, you know, people who will attend to them and everything. And this was from this billionaire. He chartered a plane and 160-foot yacht. The total cost of trip would have exceeded $500,000 if it was a normal person. But for fortunately for Clarence Thomas, it wasn't necessary to pay that money as he was on vacation with his real estate friend and Republican mega donor Harlan Crow, who owned a private jet and the yacht as well. So if that's not a conflict of interest, what the hell is? Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to be on a Supreme Court, which is supposed to be politically neutral. But yet still you have Clarence Thomas chumming it up with this billionaire guy who have a mega yacht and private jet and a resort where people can come to and schmooze and lime and what have you. And for the past 2 decades, Thomas has accepted these gifts virtually every year from the Dallas businessman without disclosing them in any documents or interview show or even in his taxes, no nothing. So the public servant, Clarence Thomas, who has a salary of $285,000, has vacation and Crow super yacht going around the globe and flies on his jet, you know, whenever he wants. He has gone with Crow to the Bohemian Grove. The Bohemian Grove is this exclusive California all-male retreat of, like, big bankers, Wall Street type, politicians, you know. Some say it's a conspiracy theory of, you know, people who run the world, really, and no women are allowed at Bohemian Grove. But we're not in the conspiracies here. We're into hard facts, and, you know, Bohemian Grove is, like, shit as hell. But, you know, we're not really jumping on that rabbit hole tonight. So the extent and the frequency of Crow's apparent gifts to Clarence Thomas has no known precedent in the modern history of the U.S. Supreme Court. And Janet Thomas is really good friends with this guy Crowther and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? What's your opinion of Clarence Thomas, you know, schmoozing with this guy, this billionaire, and for the past 20 years, you know, the Thomases been going on vacations using his yachts and his private jet. What's your opinion, Lori?
It's disgusting. And we all, you know, I'm just going to go on to read. It says, these trips appeared nowhere on Thomas's financial disclosures. His failure to report the flights appeared to violate a law passed after Watergate that requires justices, judges, members of Congress, and federal officials to disclose most gifts. Two ethics law experts said he should have disclosed his trip on the yacht, these experts said. So, in other words, he's been hiding these trips, $500,000 for, you know, a paid vacation. Well, that's a nice gift. But if you are a Supreme Court and you are supposed to report, you know, these sort of things, why not report them? Why not report them? Why did he not report them? See, that's what you have to think about. I don't care that he went on a jet with a buddy, a friend, and a vacation to all these islands, and it cost, you know, $500,000 vacation every year or whatever. I could care less about that. What I care about is that he is a Supreme Court justice, and he failed to report his trip. And he violated
the law. You know why? It's because he didn't want anybody to know that he is being bought and paid for by the far right powerful. Yeah. And they will not have ethics law. The Congress cannot tell the Supreme Court what's right and what's wrong, but they're supposed to do their own thing. It's like the fox watching the chicken coop. All of them are all screwing us. Congress is doing it. They're bought and paid for by the big corporations. And our justices are doing the same damn thing. What we need to do, which will never happen, is have the laws that they have in England. They're not supposed to spend more than $250,000 in their campaign, and they're not supposed to campaign more than 4 months rather than 4 years. As soon as they get elected, they turn around and they run for the office again. I don't know how we can get out of this rat race. It's like that mouse in the wheel going round and round, same old shit all the time.
If we get rid of lobbyists, we need some sort of legislation or an amendment to the Constitution that lobbyists are not allowed, period. I am getting rid of lobbyists. Dictating what all of us are supposed to follow. We've got lobbyists now dictating the schools, our health, our education, our welfare, and I'm just plain plain effing sick of it. It's a lobbyist, lobbyist, lobbyist. We haven't got that kind of money, and we don't have that kind of time.
And who can't go along? That's Congress, and they won't do it because they're bought and paid for by these lobbyists.
Well, then we have got you know what? We aren't screaming loud enough out here. Maybe we got to hurt a little bit more.
I don't know. How are you going to change it?
Last year alone, lobbyists. Last year alone, can I say something? Last year alone, lobbyists spent $17 billion on lobbying. And if, you know, like Susan said, there's no way they're going to change that loophole or close that loophole.
Well, you know what? Did the people of France sit around and say there's no way whether we're going to change it? Or did they hit the bricks immediately?
But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, if you're serving in the House or the Senate, you know, and you lose or you decide to retire, then that those same lobbyists who you're voting on those laws, some of these politicians not even read the laws written by lobbyists, but they vote for it. Why? Because they put money in the campaign coffers and everything.
And did you notice that a lot of these politicians, when they decide not to run anymore, they become a lobbyist?
Exactly.
We've got to get rid of the lobbyists, period.
The
only way you're
going to
do it is you
got to
keep talking about it. You
got to
keep screaming about it. You know, when I was a youngster, I never thought that guns would be a problem. But they started the narrative. When in the hell are the Democrats or the liberals going to start the narrative? We've got to keep talking about it every time we go somewhere. If we go to the grocery store or go to the doctor, or we're standing at the gas pump. If somebody looks like they want to hear what we have to say, we're going to keep saying it. I am so pissed off. We're not doing anything. All we're doing is sitting around and complaining, but we aren't talking to other people. It's time.
It is time.
You know, the next person... I'm sorry, but I got angry. We got to quit saying we can't do anything about it. We're going to change the narrative. We're going to do something about it.
Absolutely.
But it comes from the top, really. We're the top Democrats, you know, Democratic National Committee, and, you know, our own people. You know, it's like they have this attitude where, oh, you know, when they go low, we go high. Sorry again, Michelle Obama, but that's not where it worked. That's not where it cut it. That shit is over since 1988, the day that George Bush Sr. ran against Michael Dukakis and used Willie Horton ad. You know, Michael Dukakis, instead of hitting back and hitting hard, what he did was like, oh, no, you know, this is like a presidential campaign, and I won't stoop down to that level. And that's why Michael Dukakis lost. So have that attitude where, oh, you know, we should be polite and fair. And this is politics. This is a blood sport. You know, when they hit you, you hit back harder and you beat the motherfuckers down, curb stomp the bitches until the surrender. When we'll give up too easily. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what Elaine is trying to say. You know?
But the thing Democrats need the money to run against the Republicans and where they're going to get the money from. Okay? So it's like a rat race. Who can get it first? And who can get more? even though their heart might be in the right place, their pocketbook isn't.
But you have to stand up for something. You know, these mega corporations, 10-to-1 give to Republicans. So why try to court these corporations who don't give a shit about America? What they're looking at is, you know, their profit line, going offshore banking, you know, all that good stuff, you know? Go reach out to people, and don't reach out every 2 to 4 years. Reach out every day, all day, to say, this is what we stand for. This is what we have done. This is what we'll do for you, for America to move forward. But Democrats just have a shitty PR compared to Republicans.
One thing they did come out and said, Hobby Lobby wouldn't give money to their workers for birth control and wouldn't allow them to get off work for abortions. So that went really well. And then Home Depot is supporting a lot of crazy Republicans, and there was another one. It was out at the last election, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to any of those places.
And, the thing is that, you know, we're talking about these lobbyists, and you're all absolutely right, because what is also happening, and I don't know, I keep abreast of, I'm always interested in looking at, and David knows, I talk about the additives that are in our food, and things that we think are good for us are not good for us anymore. And this is because these corporations have got away with, you know, not having the inspections that they need, and the wording that's on, you know, on the packaging as well. When you read the ingredients, you know, they call it natural. Natural doesn't mean shit. So what I'm trying to say to you is all of this falls into the same category. So you eat food that makes you sick, and then you have to go to the doctor, and then you get your medication, and then it's just, you start eating the same thing again, and it's a vicious circle, and everyone's making money. Does that make any sense to anyone?
No, just like the railroads, you know, don't maintain the railroads, so then they keep on having derailments that pollute everything.
Right.
Or that building, that big factory is next to a school that's polluting the school. Or even in Michigan, you know, the military base up there, up north, that has all the PFADs, and it's polluting the well water and the rivers and lakes, that because they use that foam that puts out fires, you know, and it's everywhere. But nothing's getting done. Why?
People are starting to fight back slowly, but we've got to keep encouraging people to keep on fighting. There's a school not too far from us down here in our area, Susan, where T-Mobile put their radar signal tower right in the middle of that school on their chimney.
Yes, they're
fighting hard to get that tower off. T-Mobile.
How did they get there in the first place?
Because somebody contacted the school board and said, we're going to pay the school board $1,000 a month rental. Well, they could put that damn tower any place they want. They don't have to put it in the middle of the damn school. I don't know what the hell was the matter with the school board member. Well, he resigned. The people are really fighting it.
They are. I saw that, Elaine. And I believe that's, I want to say Wyandotte, if I'm right. I'm not
100%. Right now I can't. I thought it was Livonia, but I'm not sure. It could be Wyandotte. I don't remember.
And the thing is that it's 5G technology. And we all know a little bit about 5G technology, that they are saying that it is cancer-causing. Well, everything is cancer-causing. But if I was a parent and T-Mobile came and put a 5G network on the chimney of my school, I'd be out there preaching too. I'd be out there protesting. I really would. That's unnecessary, especially at a school.
Well, they had lead pipes in a school and the fountains and all that, and all the schools, they started taking them out, but they were there forever. It's just ridiculous that, you know, the utilities especially, they put the pipes in 150 years ago and they never replace them or keep them up. But we pay every month to pay for that. What the fuck do they do? Excuse my friend. What do
That's
they
okay.
do with the money we give them? They don't maintain their stuff. We just had a big pipe across the bay that broke. All of a sudden, there's water all over the little town because it was 150 years old.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're paying as a customer for utilities that you have a right to, and they should maintain them. Like, why do they have power lines on poles that blow down every time there's a goddamn storm?
I agree.
Ice storm.
Well, the utilities have to make their money, you know.
Yeah.
And the boards have to make their money, and the stockholders have to make their money. And God forbid if it trickles down and, you know, to fix
and
something.
Screw the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. I mean, where I'm at, we have buried power lines. So we never lose power right here. It's at the main transformer in town.
Yep.
Because this is the newer subdivision. But, they're all over. And we got trees, and the trees are old, and they're falling down, and they fall on power lines constantly.
Yep. That happens here, too. I agree.
What do you think about MAGA churches? We're calling them MAGA churches, not mega churches, because up in Trump's ass and everything.
Yeah.
In Tennessee, you know, these Republicans are bought and paid for, like Marsha Blackburn right down the line. And, you know, should there be a constitutional amendment to ban all religion from politics? When Barry Goldwater ran in 64,
I thought there was a law. A church cannot go into politics, so they got to pay. They're not nonprofits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay taxes
For some reason, Republicans just disregard that. And, you know, election cycle.
They're not enforcing the law. Yeah.
Yeah, in 1964 in Barry Goldwater laws, he did say that there's no compromising with these religious nuts. And,
it's supposed to be separation of church and state, right?
Yeah.
That's what we were founded on.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a religion if it serves your purpose. If you're far right, then they do that.
The Republicans have already put the scare tactic out on the churches, and I've got a suggestion that a church that earns over a certain amount must, shall means must, file an IRS form, and they have to prove that that money is going back to the people. That they are that they are staying non-profit and keeping their status. The minute they buy a jet airplane, the minute they buy a home with 10 bathrooms and 20 fountains and a ballroom, that's bullshit.
Yep.
Then they got to start paying their goddamn taxes.
Exactly.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for every religion. I had one person say, well, you're Catholic. Well, then, you know what? That doesn't make any difference. I don't give a damn if you're Catholic, Baptist, or whatever. If you're going to make over a certain amount and you're not going to give it back to the neighborhood, you're not going to give it back to the people because that's what a church is supposed to do, then you pay your goddamn taxes. I do.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. You're right. I just found this article. Senate Judiciary Chair Committee will act on alleged misconduct by Thomas. So Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois, the top lawmaker on the Senate Judiciary Committee, says the panel would act on allegations that the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas accepted lavish gifts from a billionaire Republican donor for over periods of decades.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, he took, you know, luxury trips and outings on yachts and private jets owned by Dallas businessman, as we said, Harlan Crow, according to an investigation by ProPublica. But Thomas did not disclose the travel. The investigation found Crow has donated lavishly to the Republican candidates. So there
you go. You know, he's not the only one. You can bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And
but
and anyway. What is that Republican group? It's not the Lincoln Project, but it's something else. They're the ones that give the name of the candidates that they want to push. And Trump,
mm-hmm.
you know, picked three of them.
Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Citizens United.
No, it was another one. It was it's strictly far right, high up Republicans. It's a group of lawyers, and they push their candidates for judges all the way from local
mm-hmm.
all the way to the Supreme Court, and it's
mm-hmm.
major corporations behind it. And I can't think
mm-hmm.
of the name. It's not the Lincoln Project, but it's something like that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yeah,
I'm
and they're the ones that put the names
United.
Forward for the last three candidates that became Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know there's a lot of money
behind
that.
Are you thinking of KPAC?
Nope. What's another
yeah.
one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
God, I can't think of the name. But it was
yeah,
on the order,
five,
not the Lincoln
six.
Project, because they are really ripping
yeah.
the Republicans, but
oh.
something like that.
Yeah.
And,
like
and
yes,
it's,
515-605-9802
far right
is the number to call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have a caller from West Virginia. I think this is Khalil. Hello, West
mm-hmm.
Virginia. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Nothing much. I was also watching the thing, and I was kind of glad that he was indicted. Because basically
mm-hmm.
it just shows, it's basically we're getting on the right track.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Just burning hot.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's hot there?
Yep.
So what do you think about the indictment, and how do you think it's going to go for the orange man?
It's probably not going to go too good, but I'm glad that he got indicted, because basically it just shows that not everybody, just because they believe that they're elite, that doesn't mean that they can get away with whatever they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
And so, Khalil, in Virginia, what's the mood like in terms of, you know, you just elected a governor who's a Republican and everything? Is he, you know, is his name in the conversation about jumping in a Republican race for president in 2024? Is he well liked by the people?
Who is it?
The governor of Virginia.
Well, look him up. I don't know much about him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But basically,
yeah, he's a Republican. He's a Trump Republican. Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know much about him, but I'm going to look him up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Republican. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm happy also that there's some other people that's getting indicted for what they do.
Mhm.
Mhm. Like there's a lot of police officers nowadays that's getting indicted for what they do.
Mhm.
And they didn't used to get indicted like they do now.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes, ma'am. His name is Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. Yeah, he was elected in 2021, and he's a big Trump, ardent Trump supporter and everything. So what's the mood like there in Virginia in terms of Democrats versus Republicans, the state legislature? Is things getting through and getting done to the benefit of the people, or is just like what's happening in Tennessee and Florida, where Republicans just, like, run full steam on what they want in terms of women's rights,
yeah.
in terms of education? What is it like in Virginia?
It can be – it's kind of bad in a certain way, because basically, like, I'm with Moms Demand Action now, and
mm-hmm.
Glenn Youngkin and all those other people, they don't they don't want to actually have laws that actually help people. You know, they want to roll back gun control laws, but they want other laws that actually harm people. Which
right.
I can't see how anybody can be that way and do this in the name of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah.
They don't care about liberty anymore. That's the whole thing. They only care about their own agenda, their own pockets, and greed and power. Racism,
yep.
mm-hmm.
fascism. That's it. Did you go ahead.
In some southern states, they're rolling back child labor laws.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas.
I mean, some red states, I mean.
Yes. Can you imagine that? That is pitiful. It's beyond pitiful. And they're probably shitty jobs. Like, you know, some of the things that I've heard, working where they, like in meat factories, you know, and they clean up the floor and the guts of, I mean, these are young workers. They're, you know, 16,
mm-hmm.
15, 14. And they work at night and go to school in the morning. It's terrible. Not right.
I was wondering, like, in these Republican states, because these saw other Republican states when, like, you know James Dobson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he,
Yeah,
he's, to me, he's a horrible person, but basically, like, I was told that in places like that, like red states, I was also told that child abuse laws were not, like, as far as child abuse laws and child labor laws, those were ratified at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that in the South, it was both of those things too. Like child labor laws were mainly in the South.
Oh yeah.
And like, as far as child abuse and treating women like they were property, I was told that was mainly in the South as well.
Basically, yes. Probably more in the South
mm-hmm.
than the rest of the country. You're probably right.
Because even back in those times, police officers couldn't protect children or women or other vulnerable populations.
Yeah, I want to play. This was CNN talking to MAGA supporters on all President Trump's presidency, Help America. And it was just, I can't believe the crap that people believe that this guy did in 4 years.
Well, let's think about it.
I'm trying to cue this thing up and the computer acting up and everything. So bear with me.
Thank you for that. The Paris Agreement, you know, he got out of that. He wants to repeal and replace Obamacare. That's in the works. Trump has changed my life. And the promises that he's made, he's doing them.
Such as?
Well, you just think about, let's think about as in with...
Yeah, so, you know, these MAGA idiots are totally warped. And Jim Jones has nothing on Donald Trump in terms of his supporters and everything. If there was Kool-Aid to drink, these people would be gobbling it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your view on, like, a typical Trump supporter? Have you ever discussed anything with somebody like that? How do you read these people?
Well, I've talked to one of the Trump supporters on Blog Talk Radio, another radio show,
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
Inconsistencies, about people on gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I know right
away. Yeah, go ahead.
And he took pieces of what he wanted to hear, and he ignored
mm-hmm.
the parts about the inconsistencies of the gun control crowd. I said, if these people, they don't want gun control, they shouldn't support it when it actually hurts people. They shouldn't support it because I'm not one of these people that wants to demilitarize police without demilitarizing the civilians. And
mm-hmm.
even after I told him about people who deflect attention, he still deflected attention away from what I was saying. So I hung
mm-hmm.
up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious topic, and when people are inconsistent and then you got people deflecting attention, you just let these people who are inconsistent to continue to deflect attention, and that's a real serious topic where people shouldn't really deflect attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They spread lies, and they believe them, you know.
Yeah.
The sad part is a lot of them are brainwashed to the point where they believe the lies that they hear. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It is absolutely mind-boggling how these people can think that someone like Trump loves them, you know, and here he is, you know, asking for money for his defense, and he supposedly is a billionaire. Why does a billionaire need money? Why does he have Lindsey Graham asking, you know, just about in tears, asking for money for Trump? Why? Why?
Right.
Why do why does anyone know?
Not sure. Maybe
no,
it's just crazy.
Well, look at the statistics. For the past 35 years of Mitch McConnell ran as U.S. Senator from Kentucky, you know, there's Owensley County, Kentucky. They have the highest rate of food stamps in the nation. And this county in Kentucky is 99.22% white and 95% Republican. But yet still, it, you know, it's one of the poorest counties in all of the United States. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the question is, why do Republican voters continue to vote against their own best economic interests? Because it's obvious that Mitch McConnell and Republicans don't care. And these food stamps that they depend on, you know, these people in Owensley County, Kentucky. Remember, they have the highest rate of food stamps in the entire nation. And they keep
mm-hmm.
voting Republicans, and the same Republicans trying to take away food stamps and WIC programs and Social Security and Medicare, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it just boggles the mind how dumb people are, you know?
You know, and most of the supporters, I mean, that I've seen that have been interviewed, I mean, they don't seem very educated. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I feel. They don't come out being, you know, when they don't talk like they're educated, like they're just talking sound bites, just what they heard, and they've taken it for
mm-hmm.
granted. It's the truth. And no, you can't take everything for granted as being the truth. Doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, you have to research it a little bit and think about it. Is this logical? You know, is it logical for a billionaire to be asking for money for to pay for his own defense? Really? Why should people pay for his defense? Think of it this way. The insurrectionists that are in prison right now, right, and have all these big lawyer fees that they have to pay. Now, if he's asking for money to pay for his lawyer fees, and he claims he got, what, $4 to $7 million over the weekend, and he really, you know, loves these insurrectionists because they are there in jail right now, and they have all this debt, you know, to pay the lawyers out, et cetera, for their ongoing problems that they're going to have. Has Trump offered them a penny? Has he offered them a penny to help them with their legal fees? No. Who's he asking for money for? Himself. Think about that for a minute. It's crazy.
He's always on the
mm-hmm.
grift. That's all he ever does. It's all what's
yeah.
in it for him, and he doesn't give a rip about anybody else.
Right. And these people
mm-hmm.
went to the Capitol. They're insurrectionists. They tried to overthrow our government, and they're the ones that are sitting in prison now, and you know how much lawyers cost these days. And
mm-hmm.
they're left holding the bag, and Trump is asking for money for himself. He doesn't give a shit about them. He doesn't care. He could care less. And there they
mm-hmm.
sit, waiting for their savior.
Larry
yep.
and David, you have the statistics on Kentucky and Tennessee, that they are the higher welfare states?
Yes.
Yes.
A majority of the southern states, they depend on welfare, they depend on WIC, that depend on, you know, that depend on a lot of things that Republicans are thinking.
Don't the Republicans call our Social Security that we pay into and our Medicare an entitlement? And
yes.
Yet their states have the highest per capita welfare? Is that
mm-hmm.
how they get elected?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's very interesting. It just
mm-hmm.
dawned on
mm-hmm.
me. If you're a Republican in a red state, make sure your welfare recipients get their money. But pick on people in New York and in Michigan and in California.
Call us the welfare
states, and your people are the ones that are capitalizing on it. Very interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Of course. But I don't know how...
That's how
they
get reelected.
I don't know how you can make people understand that, you know, this man screwed them up. I mean, how else can you put it? He screwed them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made money
mm-hmm.
off of all of these people. You know, he asked for money all the time. He's got Lindsey Graham crying, asking for money for the president, the poor president.
Do you really think he made $7 million? I don't think so.
I think maybe
he made $100,000.
I do.
Trump is always exaggerated.
But
he is a flim-flam man. He's a con artist.
Yeah.
He wanted his picture taken so he could sell T-shirts. And the judge was one step ahead of him. No mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what Trump looks like.
The point I was trying to make, Elaine, is that if he is such a billionaire, you know, why is he always asking for money? And why hasn't he helped the insurrectionists that, you know, listened to him and thought that he, you know, had a point and went...
Because he's a con artist.
You know,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
He's a grifter.
Right.
He's sitting
mm-hmm.
back and saying, hey, stupid, you're
yep.
putting money
mm-hmm.
in my piggy bank. Thank you.
Yep.
Right. But we have half an hour left. Khalil, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the call from Virginia.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Khalil in Virginia. Okay, we'll have now, is this Madeline calling from Michigan? Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello,
hey,
Madeline.
Eric Brantley here.
Hello?
Oh, Eric.
Hello,
Eric.
How's it going?
Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi.
Good, good. So,
what
Eric, yeah, I want to ask you a quick question. Robert Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy Jr., put in paperwork to run as a Democrat in 2024 for President of the United States. Do you think that campaign will get anywhere any money?
You know what? To tell you the truth, I have a feeling that, if anything, it might gear some traction. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, I do believe that most real Democrats, most diehard true blues are still going to be behind President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I see that there's
mm-hmm.
other candidates who filed to run. I mean, you know, you have Marianne Williamson, which don't get me wrong, I think that she's great in many ways. I mean, she does support the right ideas. She's an advocate for
mm-hmm.
peace, advocate for everybody getting health care, everybody getting a good education. But to me, it's like this, and I've said this repeatedly from 2016, I've said it repeatedly from 2020, is that, you know, we can support who we want in the primary, but I just hope it doesn't
mm-hmm.
steer into this basically a knife fight. And it's like at the end of the day, if President Biden gets renominated, which most polls are indicating that that'd be the case, then I want people to recognize what we're facing in the general election, whether it be DeSantis or Trump or any other Republican that they put up. And I just want people to know that at the end of the day, we're going to have to find a way to put a lot of the differences aside, find more commonalities,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully the people that are supporting Robert Kennedy, if he doesn't make the nomination, that they'll still be willing to, quote unquote, hold their nose and vote for President Biden again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Bobby Kennedy's own family, his sister Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, who was Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, she is adamantly against his run for the president and the Democratic nomination. And
mm-hmm.
he is an anti-vaxxer. you know, which don't sit well with a lot of Democratic voters. What else? He's just an oddball, I'm sorry to say. You know, he's no Jack Kennedy. He's not even like his father. He's just out there.
Even,
you get what I'm saying? Fringe.
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, I've never even really taken the time to really look that much into him or his platform, so I can't say I know that much about him. I would kind of have to look into it to see, okay, I mean, I'm sure he might have some good stances. You know, I don't know where he's at on the spectrum. I don't know if he's far left or center left or just moderate. I'm not sure. But, I mean, either way, I mean, I've already thrown my hat in the ring for President Biden again. By any chance, if Biden decides to not run, whatever the case may be, then I can understand looking at, okay, so now I have to kind of weigh the different candidates to see who I'm feeling the most, who I think would be my choice in the primary, and then who do I think would have the highest chance to win the general election.
Hey, Eric, if President Biden decides not to run, who would you like to – who do you think could step up and – run against, let's say, maybe Trump or DeSantis, and really, you know, give it to them good. I mean, honestly, stand up to them. And
honestly, I can tell you some of the best choices that I think I'm looking at. My first few choices would be between Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, Raphael Warnock, senator of Georgia. And to tell you the truth, I, like I said, as a Michigander and somebody who's a diehard Democrat, listen, I still very much support and love Gretchen Whitmer. But I would rather her finish out her second term as governor and then pursue something else. But by any chance, if she happens to make that decision, which she's indicated pretty much that she wouldn't do it now.
If she were
to jump into that ring, then I would pretty much be all hands on deck. I can tell you right now, if it wasn't for Biden and Harris, my favorite ticket right now, my favorite theoretical ticket would be Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer. And to tell you the truth, at this point, I would almost argue that that would be a better ticket than even what I thought Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders would be.
So
even though they may not have the same experience, I think that because of their work that they've done for their state, and I think that because of the and just the good that Gavin has done for California, the good that Gretchen has done here for Michigan. I just see it as, you know, if those two get together and that they form a ticket, I don't see. As long as everybody turns out to vote, I don't see how that ticket could fail, no matter who the Republicans put up.
I do like Gavin Newsom. I truly like him. I think he would be a really good candidate. And I agree with you about Gretchen Whitmer, but she has repeatedly said, just like you said, Eric, that she has no interest in right now in running for president. I mean, she is known nationwide. I mean, she really is. She's put Michigan in the national news many times, and I'm very proud of her as a governor. I really am, as I am, you know, the lieutenant governor and, of course, the secretary of state and her attorney general. They are all awesome.
Yep, and both of our senators, yep.
Yes, all of them, and our senators. So we're pretty lucky here in Michigan. We're getting a lot done, but, you know, we have to remember that it's going to be short-lived if the Republicans take over again anywhere in the country. Just like, did you see what happened in Tennessee today? Were you able to hear about that?
Something had popped up about Tennessee on my phone. I didn't get a chance to look into it because it popped up while I was at work, and I get pretty busy at work, and that's the thing. A lot of these stories – I don't have time to catch them while they're topical, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in Tennessee, they decided to expel. Well, there were three that they were deciding to expel, three Democrats, Gloria Johnson, Justin Jones, and Justin Pearson, because they were at the State House and there was protesters there, students and parents that want, you know, gun rights. And they went along with them and basically walked with them and protested with them in the State House. And two of them were expelled. The woman was not expelled. She was a white woman. And Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, two young black men, were both expelled. I think if they were going to expel two of them, they should have expelled all three of them. But they shouldn't have been expelled. Don't think that I can't get. I'm just saying it sounds racist to me.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm watching the crawl on CNN, you know, at the bottom, and she herself said the only reason she wasn't expelled is because she's a 60-year-old white woman.
Yep.
She said it herself. So
yep.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yes, no, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And what do you think?
I mean,
about
yeah, you know what? Actually, you know what? Based on that, I mean, that's what it sounds like. I think I that was a snippet that I might have caught an eye a little bit about, but again, I didn't have time to delve into it. But
yeah,
I'll tell you one thing that I am. I'll tell you what I am grateful for. We just had a Democrat win a Supreme Justice Court justice seat in Wisconsin that flipped the Wisconsin State Supreme Court blue, and then we also just gained a progressive. Black man as the mayor of Chicago, so
yeah.
I mean those were definitely some good wins for the left and for the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And I think once again it's another sign that we're rejecting the Republican agenda, that we're rejecting fascism, we're rejecting right wing extremism, and I think that it's in my theory, and I'm surprised nobody has said it by now, but I mean in a few hours the Republicans are going to come out and say that he cheated. Somehow he was that Pelosi and Schumer or Bernie Sanders or whatever, some Democrat cheated. They say it's unfair. It was rigged. I can see that coming pretty soon.
I hope not. But
already, Eric, I saw the New York Times or New York Post was there. No, New York Times were just saying that this new person that was elected in Wisconsin on the Supreme Court, that they want to impeach her and remove her already. You know, on what grounds? Like you said, that she cheated and the election was rigged. I mean, this is the only play that they have in the playbook. You know, and it's sad. I'm sad for these Republicans, these right wingers, because they have nothing to offer. They're putting their stooge and they're really bidding on the corporations and the rich people, leaving, you know, the regular Joe and the regular Jane. You know, it's to fend for themselves, basically. You know, and Wisconsin, besides Florida, is one of the most rigged states in the nation. You know, so this, you know, election of this lady to the Wisconsin Supreme Court is a good thing because women's rights will be taken seriously. You know, all across the board, gun rights, you know, gun control, you know, all those topics will be looked on. And the districts for Congress and for state houses and state Senate races went to be redrawn because, remember, you had a Republican governor in there, and the Wisconsin legislature is two-thirds Republican. So they try fight tooth and nail to have these gerrymandered districts remain and even draw even more gerrymandered districts, you know? So it's like they're putting corporations and rich people ahead of the needs of regular people who they're supposed to represent, you know? And for the people of Wisconsin who voted for this woman, thank you so much. There's hope. You know, there's hope.
Well, you know what? My thing about that is this. It's that at this particular point, and like you said, you're right. They don't have a grounds to impeach her, just like they don't have grounds to impeach Biden. They don't have the thing about it is there really hasn't been, at least from what I can tell, every time a Republican calls for grounds to impeach a Democratic official, there's not been, at least to my knowledge, there has not been a legitimate reason since Bill Clinton. Even with that case, I can understand it. But the thing about it is it's like, you know, they talk about impeaching Biden. Marjorie Greene and Lauren Boebert said that they are writing articles of impeachment. They're not even telling us what they're writing, number one. Because it seems like the whole thing is, yeah, we're just going to impeach because we just can't stand him. Now, let me also add this. Now, let me also add this, though, because here's what a lot of people don't seem to remember or know as well. Now, again, this is the crazy part about it. When it comes to impeachment, and most people didn't know this during Clinton and most people don't know it now, is that technically a person doesn't have to commit a crime in order to be impeached. For the most part, it is a vote. But the problem is that in the case with Biden, it's like, okay, you can sit, if the Republicans have the House and the Senate, and then they can sit there and say we can impeach, and most of them could vote for it, and that would be the case, and he could get impeached. But, again, the MAGA crowd of the Republican Party, that MAGA wing, has gotten so openly insane, so openly crazy, mm-hmm. so openly far to the right wing, that they're just basically drumming up things that a lot of the other Republicans are looking at this and saying, yeah, we don't like Biden, but this is not a reason to impeach him. So they're not going to go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's going to mm-hmm. be successful. So even if Biden's impeachment is lucky enough to pass the House, there's no way it's going to go through mm-hmm. the Senate. It's basically revenge just because we impeached Trump. You know, they have no, and again, another thing that people have to recognize is, and I'm not quite sure why this is, but usually it's harder. Even though the president is the executive spot of the United States, it's actually more difficult to impeach somebody in a lower position of power than it is a higher one. It's actually more mm-hmm. difficult to impeach, say, a Supreme Court justice, to remove a governor, mm-hmm. to remove a senator or a congressperson. Now, when it comes to local spots, that could be a little different. That could be argued in different ways depending on the situation. But like I said, the lady mm-hmm. you're talking about in Wisconsin, it's not like she's so far that we've seen said or done anything that deserves that. It's really just, it's a ploy, it's a narrative, and it's just, it really just comes down to we're going to impeach the Democrats because they're a bunch of communists. And I just think most of America mm-hmm. is not going to go along with that.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that came up today, everybody, is that the House Judiciary mm-hmm. Committee is attempting to compel testimony from the former Manhattan Assistant District Attorney mm-hmm. who resigned last year after criticizing District Attorney Alvin Bragg for not pursuing a mm-hmm. criminal case against former President Donald Trump. Chairman of that committee, the Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, on Thursday issued a subpoena for testimony from Mark Pomerantz, a veteran New York attorney who left a high-profile law firm to serve as a prosecutor under Mr. Bragg's predecessor, Cyrus Vance Jr., but quit the district attorney's office last March before leaking a highly critical resignation letter to news outlets. He later authorized a book on his experiences leading the district attorney's probe into Mr. Trump, in which he wrote that Mr. Bragg had backed off on seeking an indictment against the ex-president that had been authorized by Mr. Vance before his term of office expired. So in a letter to Mr. Pomerantz, Jim Jordan cited passages in Pomerantz's book in which he, the ex-prosecutor, laid out disagreements he had with his colleagues about the strength of the case against Trump, which Bragg's office laid out in a statement of facts accompanying the ex-president's unprecedented indictment earlier this week. So Jordan also cited a passage in which Mr. Pomerantz wrote that that saw the 45th president, quote, as a malign narcissist and perhaps even a megalomaniac who posed a real danger to the country and to the ideals that matter to him, end quote. These perceptions appear to have colored the work of the special district attorney, special assistant district attorney, to the point that even resigned because the investigation from Trump was not proceeded fast enough for his liking, according to Jim Jordan. And he also accused Mr. Pomerantz of having prejudged the results of the probe into Mr. Trump, citing his resignation letter in which Trump was guilty of numerous felony violations, and suggesting the former prosecutor resignation and book contributed to what the Ohio Republican described as, quote, political pressure that pushed Bragg to bring the indictment against the twice-impeached ex-president. So Jim Jordan wants this man, the ex-assistant mm-hmm. attorney district attorney in Manhattan, mm-hmm. to come in front of his judiciary committee, which is a poppy show, yeah. really. You know?
Yeah.
First, Laurie, what do you think about that nonsense that Jim Jordan trying to parade this man?
I would tell Jim Jordan, when you show up for your subpoena, we'll show up for your subpoena. Basically, that's it. Jim
mm-hmm.
Jordan,
yeah.
he's just a Trump showman. It's all he is. He's a lackey. He's actually kind of stupid. And honestly and truly, he was subpoenaed as well. He didn't go to the January
mm-hmm.
6th committee. He didn't go. So why should this person go?
Mm-hmm.
Why should he go? Really? So exactly. How I feel about it.
Well, but you know what? Here's something I want to add in that right quick. And again, I've actually asked this question to some conservatives, at least I tried to, but nobody has an answer for this one at all. At least nobody on the conservative side. And here's the thing. So when they first formed the January 6th committee, you have to remember, most of the Republicans, especially the MAGA crowd, they were the ones saying that the people who stormed the Capitol weren't really Trump supporters. They were just a bunch of Democrats who were basically posing. And these were people from Antifa, and these were people from the left and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, so if that's the case, so if I was sitting and talking to Jim Jordan or Matt Gaetz or anybody in that range, my question to them would be this. If you think that the people who stormed the Capitol were people on the left, then why would you be against forming an investigative committee? Because if that was the case, we could form the committee, we can investigate, we can expose them, and we can bust them, and then they will go to jail. Mm-hmm. But the reason you don't want to do that is because clearly it wasn't people on our side, it was people on your side doing it, which is why you supported it. So, and that's why Josh Hawley supported it, that's why Ted Cruz supported it, that's why a number of Republicans in our government, maybe not every single one of them, but a good amount of them, and it's like the reason why they're against it is because they understand that the complicity falls on their behalf, not ours. And that's why they're against it, and that's why they're fighting it. Never get exposed.
Elaine, you want to chip in?
And
no, you guys are doing a good job.
I don't think there's anything good about Jim Jordan either.
Oh.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan is an asshole. He has no business in Congress. What he did as an assistant coach in Ohio, where he covered up for the guy who raped those kids, you know, he should be behind bars, you know. And and Marjorie Taylor Greene having the nerve to come on 60 Minutes saying that Democrats are pedophiles, you know, fuck her too, you know. But breaking news, Donald Trump is in critical condition. He's choking on his own bullshit. Yeah. New headline.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We really wish, you know?
Yeah, exactly. God, I wish he'd just choke on a chicken bone and die or something. Do you think it's very embarrassing that the President of the United States and the insurrectionists who are behind bars made a song that is making the rounds now? You know?
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Especially
before. It's very distasteful.
They made a song. They recorded a song for Trump, and he's asking for money, and they have to pay their own legal fees. They're not supposedly billionaires like he is. And one other last thing to say. The other night when I listened to that Mar-a-Lago speech, I don't know what possessed me to listen to it, but I did. It was ridiculous. But the one thing that he said, he was talking about the banks, and he said, I don't need banks because I have lots of cash. Why did he say that? Who really gives a shit? But this is what I'm talking about. This man is crazy. He's obsessed with himself. He's obsessed with fortune and fame. He talked about Hillary Clinton. He talked about Hunter Biden. He talked about Afghanistan. But remember when they brought those soldiers home and the 13 that died? He talked about the 2020 election that he was, I mean, everything. This man is so angry inside of himself. He's got so many lies that are stacked up in his brain that he just spews it.
You know, about the cash, he isn't paying taxes on it, so he's probably got it buried at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, he probably does. You know,
so there you go. IRS can go after that. He's such a dumbass. He says stuff and he gets himself in trouble.
And the other thing is that he also said that he was raided at Mar-a-Lago. He was not raided. He wasn't raided there. Exactly. There was no raid. He said that they raided my home.
After months, I asked them to hand over those secret documents that belong to the American people, not him.
Yeah.
But the arrogant Trump that he is, you know, and to which, speaking of arrogance, I want to thank the judge presiding over this case.
a hush money kiss, because not giving a gag order, because Trump will keep talking and keep digging himself mm-hmm. deeper and deeper in a hole.
Oh, yeah.
So when December 4th come again, they have all the evidence they need, you know?
Yep.
And so he's going to go behind bars, and Letitia James and the lady in Atlanta, Georgia, pursuing him about mm-hmm. the interference, trying to get 11,000 plus votes, and Jack
mm-hmm.
Smith. They're going to bury him so good. I hope before the end of the year that all indictments
mm-hmm.
are in and all trials are in, and he goes to prison where he belongs. Because coming up is, you know, the trial dates or hearings for Donald Trump and everything. And he just painted against, his back is against the wall and everything. Let me see, I'm looking here. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Well, I was just going to say, also the other night when he made this Mar-a-Lago stupid-ass speech, it was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He also brought
mm-hmm.
up Letitia James. He crucified her. He crucified Jack Smith. He talked about Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
How he's being, you know, he made perfect phone calls, by the way. His phone calls to Georgia were perfect. There was nothing wrong with
mm-hmm.
what he said. They were perfect phone calls.
Like the
one
from
mm-hmm.
Ukraine, they got him kicked out of office.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he was off the chain that night. And I hope,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure the judge listened to the speech. I'm sure they all listened to it. And I am telling you, he basically hung himself there. I mean, honestly. So you're right, David. The
mm-hmm.
judge is given enough rope to hang himself. He really is.
Yes. And on April 10th coming up, Trump deposed again in New York Attorney General Letitia James' civil fraud suit. April
mm-hmm.
17th, Fox News go on trial in Dominion voting system defamation lawsuit. They're being sued, Fox News, $1.6 billion. And on April 25th, E. Jean Carroll's battery and defamation trial begins. And I don't know if Trump gave over his DNA, but she kept her panties and whatever clothing she wore that day, because according to her testimony, pre-trial, he held her up against the wall, took his pants down, and jerked off on her. You know, I mean, in the locker room and everything, in a changing room, you know, and so many women came forward saying that you know, he just comes, almost kiss them without consent, and feel them up, and take his dick out, and you know, have a little whack off and everything. I mean, this man is dangerous. He's maniacal. You know, he's a sociopath who should be behind bars. So April 25th, I'm looking forward to that and everything. I hope he pays through an arm and a leg to that woman, because
mm-hmm.
she has gone through so much and everything.
Yep.
But anyway, I want to thank everybody for calling in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil called.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine and Susan in Michigan.
And
thank you. And also, thank you for Eric for calling and
mm-hmm.
everything. So where do we go from here? Hopefully, with a Trump being found guilty on all charges and all pending
mm-hmm.
cases against him, because Trump is a sociopath who should be off the streets.
Yep.
You know, we should get Republicans out like Lindsey Graham and Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee. She's one crazy
mm-hmm.
bitch. Republicans are just not good people. We should get rid of them in 2024 and elect a bunch of Democrats, because Democrats under President Biden have showed what they're capable of. And in 2 years, what Biden has done, he has done more in 2 years than Donald Trump has ever done in 4 years. So let's keep that in mind, and keep in mind, mm-hmm. though, that Republicans don't give a goddamn about America. They care about the corporations and the rich friends and Citizens
mm-hmm.
United. America is not for sale. Teach them that in 2024. Start going out there and marching and demonstrating like what they're doing in Paris, France now, and across Europe. When the government fuck up, they're out there and marching for their rights. So I want to thank everybody for calling and tuning in. KitchenPolitics123.com is the website. Check it out. And also KitchenPolitics123 is on Facebook. Just look for the show and everything, KitchenPolitics123.com,
mm-hmm.
radio show. All right, everybody, this is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Picka from Michigan. And everyone have a good evening. And please protect our democracy. Everybody think about that. We are democracy defenders. Good night, all. See you Monday.
All righty. Thank you.
Where it began, I can't begin to know, but then I know it's growing strong. Was in the spring, and spring became summer. Who'd have believed it was long? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching me. Look at the night, and it don't seem so lonely. We set it off with only two. And when I heard certain guns off my shoulder, again I heard one calling you. One, touching one, touching me, touching me, touching me, touching me, touching me, touching me. Thank you. You can never be so good.